The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
All I got to say is hashtag TWPT. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. The two women power trip is in full effect, especially on this episode of the Rawcast. But before we get into that in depth, just want to remind everybody, the Rawcast is a part of the WrestleCast. You can find the WrestleCast on the web at www.cspn.us. You can subscribe to the Rawcast through the WrestleCast. All you have to do is search the WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Subscribe on the logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you will be listening to the Rawcast each and every week as me and Mota the underscore Reese provide our pro wrestling commentary with color. So, Mr. Mo to the underscore, we're welcome to Raw with the presence of none other than Randy Orton. They recap what he did to Big Show last week when he basically sent Big Show out to the pasture with the punt. Orton says for 20 years he's had several different names. He was the youngest champ in history. No one can hold a candle to his accomplishments. Not a Rock, not Austin, not Triple H, no one. He has done what he wants, when he wants, to whoever he wants, and that will not change. He says something's missing, though, and it hit him like a ton of bricks. He knows exactly what he's missing. He desires to be the WWE champion again. He doesn't want to compare resumes with Drew. He knows 10 years ago, Drew had his head up his ass so far that he got fired. He says he has Orton's respect, though, and for all the fighting he did to get back to the WWE in this main event position. He says he also watched Drew beat Brock at Mania and in very quick fashion. Drew says, Orton, he's got a problem. And this problem is that Drew has what Orton wants, and he tends to take what he wants at the biggest events. So Orton says he wants a title match at SummerSlam. As he's leaving the ring after the promo, Nia Jax comes out as Randy Orton makes his way to the back. So let's start with the Randy Orton promo. Randy declaring that he's done killing legends, and now he's off to become champion again. So we get our turn in the Randy Orton saga. How do you think a matchup and a build between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton is going to be?
Well, basically, saw this coming because Drew was running out of opponents to face on the main roster or on the Raw side of things. So it was like, you know, hey, Randy Orton is finishing up doing what he's doing with the legends and everything, and here we can, you know, have those two in a collision course. Originally, Randy Orton desired that he wanted to work with Tommaso Ciampa. He wanted to work with him. But, like I said, since there's a lack of just like quality heels on the main roster with everything going on with COVID-19, they had his sights set on Drew. So it could be a great match. And I have a funny feeling that this might lead to something going down at WrestleMania with Randy and Edge. For the title. It could be me just just kind of just seeing, kind of just looking at the at like the broad side of things, or you know, it could just be, hey, this is the booking that we have going on right now. So we'll see what's going. We will see what's going to happen going forward.
Yeah, that's some long-term fantasy booking. That's old WWF style booking right there, where they thinking four pay-per-views ahead. Good gosh, four matches shows ahead. So that would be, usually you get the title for 6 months. So if you extrapolate that out, that would put Randy Orton at about March. I mean, he would be giving up the title, per se, if they keep to the 6 month reign. So, yeah, I can see that happening. Ed should be back and healthy by then. You know, they could maybe have that match in front of a crowd by then. Maybe by next April, you know, people are gathering in the United States to, you know, shows and concerts and enclosed things like that. So, definitely some good future foresight booking by you there, Mr. Mo_Reese. Nia comes out. She says she just heard Randy Orton talking. She woke up this morning and she wanted to be the Raw Women's Champion. She says the last time she had a shot against Asuka, she was screwed by a referee, and then Charlotte butted in. And then she asks, has anyone seen Charlotte since? She is aware that Sasha has a championship match tonight, but she wants everyone to know, and then her sentence is interrupted by Shayna Baszler. Shayna tells Nia that nobody gives a damn about what she wants. That's when Nia hits Shayna with the right hand. Shayna responds with some kicks, and the refs come out to break them up, and it is announced that later on in the night, Shayna Baszler will face off against Nia Jax.
I'm hoping they're not trying to turn her face here, Shayna. I'm hoping that they keep her as a tweener. I really don't want to see Shayna Baszler as a face right now. Not at all.
Well, you know, people don't really like Nia Jax. So anybody who wrestles Nia Jax, whether they display heel tendencies or not, are more than likely going to be viewed as the babyface.
Yeah, but that was just the I mean, I like this whole setup right here, because two strong women in the company going at each other. Oh man, let's get it on.
The Street Profits are in the ring. They bring up SummerSlam. And they bring up ring announcing. So Montez Ford is on the mic, and he's going to introduce the Viking Raiders. He says, if Thor had these two dudes in Wakanda, Thanos wouldn't have won. So they introduce their buddies, the Viking Raiders. Montez says, the next two competitors ride together, and they fly together, and they always bring the smoke, as they introduce Rick O'Shea and Cedric, the sports entertainer, Alexander.
Wow. Wow, that nickname.
And then they introduce Andrade and Angel Garza, bringing up the rear. So Street Profits are on commentary during this match. First off, I'd like to just congratulate Angelo Dawkins on the shape that he's gotten into.
Yeah, you see him
up on the main roster. He's looking real svelte. Real, you know, much better than he did during his run at NXT. So I'll just give a big shout out to him, working hard. It's paying off for you, fam.
Y'all still want him to go through the barbershop window.
I want him not to wear two do-rags in that Florida heat, though.
I don't know why he had them on.
Trying to sell that merch.
Gotta
promote that merch. Get that little extra in that check every month, or at the end of 3 months. Ricochet, Cedric Alexander versus the Viking Raiders versus Andrade and Angel Garza. This is a number one contenders match for the chance to face the Street Profits at SummerSlam. So Ricochet and Cedric are outside the ring with Andrade and Eric. That's when Ivar gets on the top rope. He does a senton onto everyone, but Angel Garza runs away before he could get squashed. Angel runs into the ring, hits the wing clipper on Cedric. He stares down the Street Profits, and he makes the cover, and he gets the 1-2-3. So Andrade and Angel Garza are going to have the right to face the Street Profits at SummerSlam. So after the match, there's a stare down between Street Profits, Andrade, and Angel Garza. And Street Profits relax a little bit, and that allows Andrade and Angel Garza to attack them at the commentary booth, and leaves the Street Profits, you know, understanding that, okay, they serious, and we can't be letting our guard down like that.
Pretty good match.
Yeah, it was a fun match. It was a lot of fun. The Viking Raiders, unfortunately, are kind of mid-card, you know, tag team that put in a good match, but they aren't really seeing a lot of results right now. We kind of knew this coming into the way that it's been kind of going the past couple of weeks, that Andrade and Angel Garza would probably win this match. Based off the last couple of weeks of how the TV has gone. But it's good to see Ricochet and Cedric Alexander getting, you know, consistent time back on Monday Night Raw. We thought it was over for him when Paul got fired, Paul Heyman. But Bruce Pritchard has kind of resurrected them and got them back up on the main roster. And
hopefully they may, you know what, they may have a voice in MVP. They may have a voice in MVP, like, you know, kind of looking out for them.
Right.
So I that's a theory of mine too. It's just, you know, they have to do this whole storyline on TV and everything. But they said they may have a voice in MVP as well. So.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope MVP is really out here doing that for these guys, getting them in positions in which that they can show their wares on a more consistent basis and contribute to the shows. Definitely there's room for Ricochet and Cedric in the tag team division. Hopefully they can get a chance to shine more consistently. Backstage, Nia Jax is scolding the ref that screwed her out of her title win that she thought she was going to have a couple of weeks ago. So then
Nia and John Cole really be going back and forth with this. Like, Nia knows she was wrong. And she should have got disqualified, but it didn't go out the window that way.
So then it comes to Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Shayna runs down and attacks Nia immediately. The bell rings and Nia sends Shayna over the top rope. Nia follows and Shayna kicks her high on the side of the head, and the ref starts his count. Nia sends Shayna into the plexiglass. They lock up on the outside, and the ref calls for the bell as we get a double count out.
I guess it gives them, you know, this opportunity just to continue. If their feud is just starting, so it just gives them just something to build off of. So we kind of know how both of them are and what it can lead to and everything.
After the bell, Shayna continues the onslaught. Nia kicks her in the ass, then shoves her into the barricade. Nia grabs Shayna and sends Shayna into the ring. Some little dude follows Shayna, and then another redhead dude tries to stop the both women from, you know, continuing to fight. Shayna locks the clutch onto a security guard. Nia then shoves down this redheaded guy into Shayna.
Redheaded guy. You said redneck, sir.
Nia rips the shirt off of the redhead guy, then kicks him out of the ring. Shayna tries to climb back into the ring. Nia then rushes her and knocks Shayna off the apron. Nia claims that she isn't afraid of Shayna and calls for more. because, of course, Nia Jax is not like most girls.
So, basically, I knew that was an actual producer. That's Pat Buck. He's an actual, a legit producer with the company. So, I guess all that, because it shows that I just read earlier that Nia Jax is getting a fine for her actions last night on the show.
Ripping up the, well, at least pay for the man's shirt and dry cleaning.
Yeah, he said next week I expect a heartfelt apology from Nia Jax, as well as a wrinkle resistant medium dress shirt.
Well, I'm glad that he understood that that shirt was about a size and a half too tight.
I'm like, whoa, this shirt's kind of tight, sir. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, this would be something good for both of them, and we can get something building with these two.
Your favorite, Dominic Guerrero, is here to confront Seth Rollins about the result of the match that was his father's idea. His stepfather's idea, excuse me. Backstage, Buddy Murphy seems a little perplexed, while Seth seems calm and cool. Murphy wonders if Dominic will really show up tonight. Then we get a little clip and Mark Henry chatting it up with Ruby Riott and Bianca Belair. Wonder what that conversation entailed, but we didn't get to hear it because they didn't have any audio going. So Seth is in the ring. He's all smiles. He says he defeated Ray at Extreme Rules. Seth also beat Aleister Black last week, and he should be in a great mood, but he is not. He tells us why. He says Dominic is here, and he plans to confront Seth. Seth talks about taking two steps forward and one step back. Seth brings up the injuries that everyone has suffered who have stepped in his way. Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black. He doesn't want to be the person that hurts people. Seth says the last time Dominic was here, things got more violent than he would prefer. He says tonight's going to be different. Dominic will not have to hide and jump in from behind. He wants to do this the right way. He has a soft spot in his heart for Rey Mysterio, and he wants to invite Dominic to the ring right now. Dominic comes down to the ring. He seems very upset. Seth promises not to hurt him. Seth asks Murphy to help Dominic get in the ring. He understands that Dominic is in pain. This doesn't have to be the way it has been. Seth says Rey has gotten better. If it's not possible for Dom to articulate how he's feeling, he wants Dominic to understand that Seth is here for him. If he needs guidance, Seth is here with open arms. So Seth opens his arms wide to embrace Dominic, who shoots the leg and takes down Seth Rollins. But Murphy is there to stop him. Murphy mounts Dominic, starts beating him up with left and right hands. Seth hits the stomp on Dominic. Murphy helps him, and Dominic rolls to the outside. Murphy grabs Dominic and hits a bunch of rights, attacking him against the barricade. Seth gets in some kicks as well, and they send Dominic into the barricade back first. So Murphy and Rollins continue to put the boot to Dominic. Seth then lifts him up and sends him into the barricade one more time. Seth stops the beating, then screams this isn't his fault and that Dominic asked for this. Seth lifts Dominic. He's about to send his eye into the corner of the steps when Aleister Black flies in from out of nowhere on the set. But Buddy Murphy stops Aleister Black and attacks the arm that they injured last week. Seth sends Aleister Black into the barricade. Murphy then hits Aleister Black with a running knee to the face. Murphy comes down to try to stop Seth, but he doesn't listen. And instead, he runs to stomp Aleister Black into the mat. Seth yells at Buddy Murphy, asking him if he knows what he's got to do. Seth tells Buddy Murphy to do it. Murphy grabs the head of Aleister Black. He's pressing it into the steps. He digs his steps into the eye of Aleister Black when Dominic comes back on the scene with a kendo stick. He attacks Buddy Murphy. He gets a few licks in on Seth, and Buddy Murphy and Seth both head to the back, scrambling from the kendo stick shots from Dominic Guerrero.
Man, that was a crazy segment.
It was the best of both worlds for me. I got to see Dominic get beat up, which is always, a highlight when it comes to Dominic Guerrero when it comes to me, because, you know, why is he out there? He's not a wrestler, so when people beat him up, that's what he deserves. And then we also got to see him strike back, though, because, you know, people, some of y'all like to see Dominic Guerrero, you know, be aggressive and show that he might actually does have a future in this here WWE business.
Shout out to DD Jonae. She popped up when Dominic was putting them, taking them to the woodshed.
Yeah, one time always for the SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss DD Jonae.
But yeah, but also they showed Seth showed pictures on Twitter that of his back, and he had some welts on his back from that Kindle stick.
Yeah, Dominic was definitely swinging for the fences with that thing, man. Backstage, R-Truth comes up to Mustafa Ali to talk about being on the MVP lounge. Ali corrects him. Truth wonders if he's after the 24/7 title. Ali says no, he's focused on his match later tonight with Bobby Lashley. R-Truth calls him Mufasa and tells him he's got his eyes on him. MVP and Bobby Lashley are in the ring. They're talking about the real United States champion, MVP. MVP then says that he met a young man he's never met before, a man who's been gone for like 7 months. He wants to help this young man, so he welcomes Mustafa Ali to the MVP lounge. MVP tells Ali, this is where made men congregate. This is where if you make the wrong decisions, you become a dissatisfied client of the Hurt Business. Ali wonders if the stockholders of the Hurt Business are dissatisfied, considering he and his little friends put them out of business. Ali is happy, though. He's happy he's back. He's happy he's on Raw. He's happy that he finally has the opportunity to climb the ladder. And then he climbs on the man's couch, and he says he's proud to have the opportunity to be a real champion. So disrespectful, Mustafa Ali climbing on this man's furniture.
Hey, I told you, like I said, the last week, standing on couches is club culture, so he's actually on par with his actions.
Where how I was raised, you don't put your feet on people, and you don't put your feet on couches.
Well, Rick James will tell you different. Rest in peace.
MVP says he'll give Ali credit. He's talented, and MVP sees wonderful things happening for him. They can all happen, but Ali's got to make the right decisions. Ali knows what's going on, and he's not buying it. He says he can brainwash these two meatheads, meaning Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley, but Ali says he thinks for himself. So MVP, of course, takes umbrage, saying Ali must not be thinking very clearly because tonight he's going one-on-one with Lashley. MVP says he just wants to help Mustafa Ali. He says, look, man, Apollo Crews went down the same path, and right now he's at home sitting on the couch watching all of them. He says Ali has a choice. He can be a champion or chum in the water. Ali says no. He has the more, and then he gets interrupted as R-Truth runs into the ring, rolls Sheldon out of the ring, rolls him up for a two count as he's trying to regain the 24/7 championship. So that didn't work out for R-Truth. But we do get our match, Mustafa Ali versus Bobby Lashley. Well, Shelton Benjamin is on the outside of the ring, chilling there with MVP when Akira Tozawa pops up from underneath the ring trying to pin him. They thwart him. There's one ninja that comes from under the ring. MVP takes care of him. Then there's a second ninja that comes from under the ring, and Bobby Lashley lawn darts this fool into the ring post. I think he just killed a man on national TV.
I think he did, too.
But Ali, after all that commotion, he goes for the 450. He rolls through, and he looks for an arm drag, but Bobby Lashley locks in the fool Nelson, and Ali has no choice but to tap out. Why don't these young boys be listening to MVP? Trying to save them all this pain, blues, and agony. Let them get to the pay window more often than they are now. And these boys just not hearing it, though.
you want them to soak up this game.
It's like, you know, you understand what I'm saying. It's like when you're 21 and somebody who's 41 talks to you, you hear them, but you don't listen because you don't have enough life experience to soak up everything that they're telling you. And then when it's too late, you'd be like, you know what, man, I should have listened because he was telling me everything about how to navigate these situations. But, you know, I just wasn't able to listen as clearly as I needed to. That's the same thing that's happening to Apollo, Ricochet, Cedric, and now Mustafa Ali. Look at Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin soaked up the game, became a champion first night. Bobby Lashley been soaking up the game. Look at how far his career has gone in such a short time, from being in a terrible situation with Lana and Rusev to now being a highlight of Monday Night Raw every week.
Hang on. So real quick, a note. So it's been talked. So last week we saw Ron Simmons, and this week we saw Mark Henry.
Right.
So basically, I'm glad they kind of. I'm hoping they did away with it. They were trying to do. They were trying to bring back the Nation of Domination, and that's the reason why we saw those two on back to back shows. But they kind of, I guess, what they did, they're not going, but that's why we saw Mark Henry talking to Ruby and Bianca Belair. That's the reason why, because they kind of switched it up. They switched up the program, and they're not going to go with this whole thing. And hopefully they make the Hurt Business basically its own entity. Like, don't do a Nation Domination 2.0. Just do Hurt Business and let it run on its own.
I would prefer they just make the Hurt Business the Black Four Horsemen. That would be cool.
Black Four Horsemen?
Yep, dress them up in suits, let them all have titles, and let them come out there and talk their shit. I'll take that. They need a fourth, though. I don't know who that fourth person would be. My choice would preferably be a heel Ricochet.
Ricochet.
Yep. RICO'Shea.
I can see it.
We get a Dolph Ziggler promo in the Performance Center. He says that he's going to SummerSlam because he's going to beat Drew for the title tonight. Sasha and Bayley, they're here. They're talking about to be a star. Sasha says there's no bigger bully than Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie is jealous because they run the whole damn company. They are the show, and they make it look easy. They are the role models, and they lead by example. They stand against injustice, which is why when Asuka spit at that ref, they felt so bad. So Bayley ran in to check on him, and the next thing you know, Sasha had Asuka pinned, and Bayley did what anyone would have done. Counted the fall and granted Sasha Banks the championship. You got it.
So, these two. So before, not to get off topic real quick. So right now on my TV, I have an app called Pluto TV, and on one of the channels they're showing TNA's One Night Stand 2016, I believe. And it's a bunch of current WWE stars that actually on this program. Like, it was Robbie E, who is currently Robert Stone, and he went up against Rockstar Spud, who is
Drake Maverick.
Drake Maverick. And so now we just had, Ken Anderson losing to Gunner, who is one of the Forgotten Sons right now. He's going up against MVP in the next matchup. So.
Yeah.
Kind of some
you know, everybody bounces from company to company until.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's just real interesting who's wrestling right now. And I'm like, you know, this is crazy.
Right.
But back to our two women power trip.
So this
it's funny that okay. funny that she's calling out Stephanie McMahon, calling her a bully and everything. And we've seen Stephanie's reign of terror over the years. We've all witnessed that. And while Sasha has a point there and everything, this is basically I like this promo and everything, you know. Setting up for the match and everything. Setting up for what we all came to see.
What we all came to see, Sasha Banks versus Asuka for the Raw Women's title. Before the match starts, Kairi Sane chases Bayley to the back, so it's a one-on-one matchup. Remember, the rules to this match are, if there's any count-out, disqualification, or interference, then the title will be awarded anyway. So just remember. Yes. Sasha locks in the bank statement, sitting between Asuka and the ropes. Asuka rolls out of it and turns it into an ankle lock. Sasha gets to her feet. She sends Asuka to the corner. Asuka runs up the corner. Then Asuka flies off with a dropkick. On the Titantron, Bayley is beating the brakes off of Kairi Sane. Asuka hits a German suplex to Sasha, but the screen distracts Asuka. Asuka holds Sasha's arms from behind, but she continues to be distracted by what's going on the Titantron. Kairi screams for Asuka as Bayley continues to send her head into the garage door. This is enough to send Asuka out of the ring and to the back to go save her friend, which means Asuka gets counted out and Sasha Banks is officially your new Raw Women's Champion.
Interesting.
They doubled down. They said, y'all didn't like that finish from Extreme Rules? How you like this?
Yep. So,
trolling at its finest.
So, I think basically what's happening here is that we're going to see, if it comes back down to Asuka and, Sasha Banks, Asuka basically say, you can't pin me or submit me in the ring. That's going to be the talking point of getting another match. And she said she couldn't pin her. Like, Bayley had to beat up Kairi Sane in the back, which I kind of figured that would be how she would get taken off of WWE TV. And then Asuka running back, and everybody was upset.
Well, you know, first we'll address the Kairi Sane thing. 4 years here in WWE between NXT and the main roster. Clearly the last year and a half far less full of wonderful moments than the first 2.5 years where she was on NXT. So good luck to Kairi Sane and what she plans to do. I don't know if she's going to go back to stardom or if she's just going to retire or...
WWE is main trying to get her to do some ambassador work, you know, because they were trying to do an NXT Japan over there before everything happened this year. So they might try to get her to do some ambassador work, and you know, they were really grateful for her for what she did in the company and everything. And it was just so disappointing because she was a great wrestler and she had a great gimmick and. It was just basically, you know, she took the fall person in the matches against certain individuals, you know, on the main roster. And I'm like, you know, it's like her, it's like she was in NXT, you know, she got great matches with Shayna Baszler and other people down there, other women wrestlers down there. And it's just, you know, just disappointing to see, you know, this is how she's leaving the company. I mean, she just got married and she must be her husband, so I understand why this is her decision that she's making for herself.
Your assessment of the match, Asuka and Bayley part two. I mean, excuse me, Asuka and Sasha part two. You know, 2 weeks
apart. It was a good match. It was a good match, but just the dusty finish kind of just was like, hey, not all victories can come via pinfall submission. So we have to remember that, wrestling fans. We have to have other means of winning, and this happened. So. A lot of you were upset. I understand that, but it's the way it goes in the wrestling game.
So we come back from the commercial break. Asuka walks out of the training room. She's visibly upset, and then she starts screaming a promo in Japanese. So I guess we're seeing the transformation from the Raw Asuka, happy dancing Asuka, to maybe going back to the NXT Asuka, where she was just a killer. So we'll see where the next transformation for Asuka leads her. Buddy Murphy is here to face off against Humberto Carrillo.
Oh! Carrillo able to stop Murphy cold.
Carrillo now hit it all the way to the top row. Oh! Murphy meets him.
And Humberto Carrillo stopped by Murphy. And this is a precarious position for Humberto Carrillo. A renewed sense of confidence for Murphy. Oh, with a kick by Carrillo, and both men are down. Humberto Carrillo measuring the disciple.
Carrillo able to catch himself on the apron.
And his agility. Oh, right to the side of the face with the kick. Murphy is down. Great chance here for Carrillo.
One more time. Humberto Carrillo headed up top. Ready to attack.
Off the top of the missile. Drop kick to the back of the neck.
Oh, I mean, absolutely devastating area to get a strike like that.
And this is it. To the cover. Murphy able to power out at two. Plenty of damage done to the back of Carrillo. Trying to fight through the pain, goes up top, and Murphy rolls out to the apron. Very wise decision by Murphy.
Very wise for Humberto Carrillo to adjust his plans and meet Murphy on the apron.
Oh, and a pump kick in close range.
And he may have put himself in a worse predicament. I mean, Murphy's, he's out here, he's trying to make a difference, but Humberto Carrillo, oh, this does not look good at all.
Oh, the deceptive power of Humberto Carrillo. Murphy able to find his way free, and a shot to the kidneys. Ooh. A hard-hitting battle between two rivals.
And this is getting ugly really, really fast, Tom. Keep an eye on Carrillo.
Carrillo up the top. Oh! Catches Carrillo, and now Murphy. Carrillo falls subject to Murphy's law. Cover! The Disciple dispatches Carrillo.
Here's your winner, Murphy.
That was a sick finish. And I'm saying Buddy Murphy definitely is a great wrestler. That was a sick finish, how he hopped up. Humberto came off the top rope and caught that knee, and that was all she wrote.
We talked about last week just how good of a wrestler Buddy Murphy is, how he has chemistry with a lot of people currently on the main roster. And the really only downside we saw was that he wasn't getting any wins to kind of, you know, at least keep him relevant and not just kind of when you see Buddy Murphy like, oh, okay, he's about to lose. So it's good for him to switch it up this week. Poor Humberto Carrillo.
It seems as if he has the
Buddy Murphy syndrome where he can't get no wins.
But it seems as if that Seth is looking to have him, because you see what happened early in the night. He was like, you have to do what you have to do. He's like, are you in this? Are you in this?
Yes, he committed to the cause.
Are you committed to this side?
Right.
And he had to, you know, do what he had to do. And him getting this win was also a good look for him as well, kind of build up on that momentum.
So, I know you're into the sheets and the news. Anything on Austin Theory? I mean, is there
any confirmation? The last time I read about him, it was basically he got caught up in the whole speaking out thing, and then there's the whole Corona thing. So, yeah, like I said, he was there for just for a cup of coffee, and you know, it's just like basically without the same rate. We haven't seen him for weeks. So we don't know what their standing is in the company or anything. It's just not, I don't know, it doesn't look good because it seems like they moved on from him being with Seth and Buddy. Or Seth and Murphy, rather.
Yeah, they definitely need a and they need that third person. I think I thought that he was gonna add.
He did, but then everything. I guess his name came popping up in that. Everything came popping up in that.
Speaking out hashtag.
And then speaking out hashtag. So, you know, they took him off. He's taken off of TV.
Yeah, they had to get a lot of people up off the TV. They had a lot of people in the UK brand that are no longer employed with the company. Yeah. They had to get up out of there quick, fast. So, yeah, and then not to mention, he might have just got kind of reprimanded and be like, hey, you know, we're going to pull the Sammy Guevara, keep you off the TV for a month or so till he dies down. But then, like you said, with Florida being such a hot spot, he may have gotten sick, and that may have added to some of this.
He was mentioned, but they've been kind of quiet. You know, he wasn't like kind of like the other ones who got released and everything. So, like I said, from what I read, that was what it was. But we haven't heard anything else. I haven't read anything else, so to speak. So, like I said, your guess is as good as mine. So, you know, once I get that. No breaking, he's been released, then we'll know. Or if he comes popping back up on TV, back in his role, then hey, you know, it is what it is. Like I say, I haven't heard anything. I was like, he was there for a cup of coffee, and that was it.
Drew McIntyre is here, he's ready for his match against Dolph Ziggler. He says, but before that, he's got to lay out that stipulation for tonight. He says, but before he does that, he's going to address Randy Orton. He says that it's official. At SummerSlam, it will be Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. He says he won't compare resumes either. He says Orton is on fire and calls Orton the biggest threat to his championship. He knows everyone thinks that Drew is the underdog. He talks to Randy. He hopes that's what he's thinking. He prays for it. Please underestimate him, because that's what Brock did. As for the RKO and not seeing it coming, he's telling Orton now, he will see the damn Claymore coming. Drew says, as for the stipulation for this match, out comes Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler had the full blowout for this week. Drew says that he was inspired by Ziggler. He says he wants an Extreme Rules match too. He says, but Ziggler can use all the weapons he wants. There's only one difference. This time, Drew can too. So Dolph Ziggler versus Drew McIntyre, Extreme Rules match. I don't know if this was a title match or not, but at least it was an Extreme Rules match.
They changed it. It was a non-title match.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a title match based on last week, right?
Right. A rematch. And then they changed it. They changed it like middle of last week.
Okay. So Drew wants to hit the Claymore, but Ziggler hits him with a surprise zigzag, and he gets a cover for a two count. Then Drew does hit the Claymore, sends Dolph into the table, and he covers Dolph for the 1-2-3 to win the Extreme Rules matchup. After the match, Drew is holding his title high until, of course, Randy Orton, out of nowhere, hits the RKO, leaves Drew laying, and Randy Orton leaving over Drew McIntyre is the image we get to end the show.
Randy firing that first shot.
Basically, for a lot of people, once Sasha Banks won the match and that finish came down, that was pretty much their ending of Monday Night Raw. A lot of people did not stick around for that main event.
I woke up. Miz was on his show talking about, you know, the competition. So I had to rewind and go back to see that finish.
That seems to be a thing with you the last couple of weeks. You can't make it past that 10:35 mark, huh?
If it's Sasha and O'Bailey in the main event, I'm watching. If it's somebody else, I'm like, eh.
This was a pretty pedestrian Monday Night Raw. I mean, I know they're trying to set up SummerSlam, so a lot of things are in the infancy of that. But, I mean, other than Sasha winning the championship, which was probably the way that they, you know, probably wanted the show to be. Other than that, and maybe the Nia Shayna confrontation, you know, it's kind of a ho-hum show.
Yeah, I mean, it was par for course. We were watching, and I'm like, okay, you know, I was really excited about the Street Profits and Angel Garza and Andrade upcoming match leading up to that. More and more every week, I'm enjoying the Hurt Business. So, like I said, it had its good spots overall. It was just like, you know, okay, we're moving along, and here we are.
As I titled last week's episode of this podcast, the Hurt Business is best for business.
You're right.
We're going to talk about some of the main highlights from this past week's SmackDown Matters. The Two Women Power Trip come out to start the show, and they basically take us on like a 15-minute ride with them.
But hold on. Did you see this?
I did not see the whole 15 minutes, no, sir.
Okay, so here's the thing. I tagged you for a reason in the thing, because the way you wore the belts, you've been proud.
Thank you.
They had their tag team titles around the waist, and they had they carried the title on their arm, like on their arm, kind of like when they're in the ring and they have the title on their shoulder.
Right.
That's how they carried it, and I was like. And I said, see, and I said, Dawn would appreciate this.
Definitely.
I said, Dawn would appreciate this image right here. I was hoping that you would see it, because you would have been like, now this is how you got the title. And around their waist and their arms, I was like, okay.
Yes, yes. You do not carry the titles the way Evil and Keith Lee carry the titles. Oh my gosh. Evil's just as bad as Keith Lee with these double championships. Just dragging them around like a wheelie suitcase. But yes, caress the belts, hold them up, hold them tight, display them always, and present them as the most important things in your wrestling career. So very, very, very happy the way Bayley carries her belts. I like the way that during the Extreme Rules match, when Sasha had all the belts on at once, she had all the belts at one time, she looked like Ultimo Dragon. You ever seen that picture where he's got like 12 belts? Yeah, so that reminded me of that. So I'm always a stickler for the way that these people carry their belts. So anytime anybody carries it with prestige and honor, you know I'm down for it.
Yeah.
Well, Bayley says that the winner of a match, because Nikki Cross wanted a rematch, and she was like, you know, she got really close, and a lot of people like her don't get opportunities, especially not twice at the championship. But she says that she thinks she deserves it. She could really beat Bayley if she just got one more chance at it. So Bayley said, all right, if you want another match with me, all you got to do is win your match tonight against Alexa Bliss. And next week, the winner of that match will receive a title shot. So Alexa Bliss faced off against Nikki Cross. And Nikki Cross got the sneaky win with an inside cradle on Alexa Bliss. And Nikki Cross is going to get her rematch against Bayley on this upcoming SmackDown.
Yeah, so basically, this is a good match going back and forth. And I was just wondering, I knew Nikki was going, I was like, Nikki's going to pull this off. And it was kind of the roll up and everything, and so it kind of led to an awkward backstage confrontational segment with those two. And you know, Alexa was like, you know, hey, I'm happy that you won, you know, so let's just, you know, get you prepared for next week. And she gave a bottle of water and they went on talking strategy and everything. So this is basically, I don't know if this is lead to the implosion of Bliss Cross or whatnot, but this whole thing just kind of just led up to this match next week on Friday for SmackDown.
Naomi was the guest on this week's Miz TV, so she comes out looking as only she can look in some short shorts and some real high boots. And she basically, you know, talks about the hashtag, why she deserves better. The Miz and John Morrison are trying to, you know, get her riled up, talking about, you know, Lacey Evans was the one who won the match, but Naomi was the one who was trending, and they just don't understand the logic in that. So she, you know, gives them a piece of her mind and basically explains why she deserves better and why the fans are always checking for her and supporting her. And she runs down her accomplishments in the WWE just to let them know. Lacey Evans comes out there to interrupt. And so Naomi took care of her, beat her down, and took her little floppy hat and was parading around the ring with it.
Yeah, it was cool. That was cool. I actually like this. It was, so they was out there dancing. So Miz and Morrison was out there dancing. And she was kind of looking at him like, are you done? Like, she was not here for the foolishness. And just the fact that how she ran them down, I enjoyed like the little promo she cut in the ring when she was like, you know, saying why the fans, you know, saying, you know, fans are, you know, behind her and everything. And, you know, she really, you know, cut her teeth with this one. So, and then Lacey come down. It's like they flip flopping Lacey now. Lacey's back to being heel, and I'm like, woman. And so she came out and they fought, and she had her hat, and she was, yeah, what happened was she was about to put on some makeup because she had kind of run it down and everything. And so Lacey's about to put on some makeup, so Naomi pushed her, and the makeup just went all over her face. The lipstick went over her face. And she had this look on her, and it was like her face was just messed up, and she was upset and everything. She had the hat, and Naomi had the hat on, dancing around in the ring and everything. So it was a good little segment there.
I really like how, you know, they didn't shy away from the hashtag, and they didn't just put it on the back burner, and they actually gave it to Naomi as something that she can sink her teeth into. And I think that's why that promo was so good, was because, I mean, it's her real life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This ain't no made up for TV situation right here. This is like, you know, her grind, her career, you know what I'm saying? She can come out there and be very believable about the things that she's accomplished and how long she's been there and what she's seen and how she's been through, you know, three different kind of generations of women's wrestling in the last like 10 years.
Right.
With the Divas, you know, the Women's Evolution, and now this era right here. So, you know, just a good promo by Naomi. Very believable.
And just to cut on that, if you really, like, before, like, I watched old FCW clips of her when she was down there, and the way she came, where she came from when she started out down there to where she's at now, she's really, really, really improved on her, you know, just her character, her wrestling ability, everything. You know, so she really has, you know, put in the work to just improve. It wasn't just like no old pity hashtag. She's actually been working. And it's just like a lot of, you know, young black girls who are watching wrestling, this is who they one of the ones they look up to. And they see Naomi on TV, and it's like, they're like, yes, this is somebody who looks like me, who was on TV wrestling and shows that I can, you know, I can enjoy this, I can be a fan of this. And this is what, you know, I like to see. When you see the young kids who see them, who see somebody who looks like them on TV, and they can relate to it. It's not like how like WWE in the past and wrestling in the past, everything, how they were just treating women out there, had them out there with you know, tight clothing on and going bra and panty matches and things like that. They're actually out there wrestling, doing storylines, you know, making an impact in these matches and everything. So this is part of the reason what I'm saying, this is the dark match, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this is what social media does. It gives, you know, fans more of a voice as to what they like to see in their favorites. This is why Naomi is popular. This is why Sasha Banks is popular. This is why Bailey is going to be popular once she gets more TV time and everything. Because, you know, they've seen that these young black girls who are watching wrestling, you know, they're actually able to, like, wow, like, I see someone who looks like me on TV, and I'm actually, I can actually, you know, put forth my fandom into it.
Yeah, man, representation definitely matters, plays a big part, especially in spaces that aren't traditionally friendly to black women, especially. So hopefully the hashtag, you know, pops up every time they do bad by Naomi and they recognize that they got a gem. They just need to cultivate it and let it shine.
Exactly.
Speaking of a gem, Kofi Kingston says, man, he's hurt. Woods is hurt. So it's only one thing left for them to do, and that's to give Big E their blessing to go out and pursue a singles run. Big E is rather reluctant, talking about, you know, hey, man, we a group, we a team. And they'll be like, man, you've been here for the last 5 years. You've always put the team first. You know, there's been so much individual success that you have let go by so we could all shine as one collective. But now, you know, we're not going to be around, so we can't hold you down, and we can't expect you for you to still hold the team down. So go out there and go get it on your own, big man. So that was a real good moment, real heartfelt, touching moment, and kind of what everybody had been hoping for. They didn't want to see a breakup of the New Day through.
This is what you were saying. This is what you had said. You know, you were saying, don't break them up. Just let them do their own thing on the solo run.
Right.
And we've been wanting to see a Big E solo run, for years. And I'm glad, you know, and this promo really hit hard with me because, like Kofi said, you know, don't wait a decade for them to recognize you. Something that he said.
Oh yeah, don't let it be a decade for you to get your opportunity.
Right, and that just kind of hit me like, wow, like Kofi really is just like, listen, I want you to go out here and do the damn thing. And like I said, Big E is a great talent. Like when he came up, you know, he was still the NXT champion, and he was running with Dolph and AJ Lee. So, you know, he has the upside. He has the muscular strength and everything. And then once we got to see him in action, we got to see him cut promos, you know, wrestle in the ring. You see that he's great at what he does. He can talk on the mic. You know, he has those qualities that you look for in a superstar that you want to push. So the fact that Kofi and Xavier are giving him his blessing, and he was like, he was being reluctant with it, but you know, Kofi said he's gonna be out for 6 weeks. And Xavier's still nursing his injury and everything. So it's time for him to shine. And he has to go off and, you know, do his thing so he can make a name for himself, a household name for himself, and not just be like, okay, he's out there with Kofi and Xavier. Like, no, you actually can go out here and make a name for yourself. You can do this. We got faith in you. People is believing in you. You know, people have been, you know, very supportive of your work for years. So let's go out here and get it done.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens, what direction they go. Just to hear him, you know, cut these promos, because, you know, Big E is very good on the mic. So I'm very excited to see Big E out here on his own. and just, you know, what is the first program that they put him in and how he responds.
Yeah.
Grand Metalik, he won a four-way match between himself, Lindsay Dorado, Shorty Gable, and Drew Gulak, and that earned him an opportunity to face AJ Styles for the Intercontinental Championship. I think that's going down on this week's SmackDown as well.
Yeah, this was actually a good four-way match. I actually liked it, and I was surprised that he won.
Everybody was surprised.
Everybody was surprised. That's it. I was like, what the devil going on? And then I saw it. I was like, wow. I was like, he actually won this match. And then he was basically, you know, and at the end, AJ came in the ring and, you know, tried to push him around. And he got the upper hand on AJ. And, you know, he was holding the title up in the ring and everything. So, you know, a lot of people are saying this is a result. I don't know if you mentioned this, that Daniel Bryan and Edge been added to the I think Daniel Bryan is added to Raw. I mean, SmackDown writing team, and Edge is added to the Raw writing team.
Edge is on the Raw writing team.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that.
I meant to bring this up earlier in when we was talking, but yeah, Edge is on the writing team for Raw and Daniel Bryan doing SmackDown.
Yeah, I heard that rumor about SmackDown. I did hear that.
Yeah, but yeah. So basically, a lot of people say this is like Daniel Bryan, you know, basically doing this for them because, you know, he been working with them as well as for like when he came back and everything. So Grand Metalik and AJ Styles should be a good match for Friday on SmackDown. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that.
You know, it's always good to have new players showcase themselves in these matchups, just, you know, for the newness of the matches. And right now, with the roster being so limited, you know, they got to do and show some new talent. And so, you know, Grand Metalik is as talented as they come, as far as if you like what Miss Simi calls the flippy shit. He's one of the very best at it. So it definitely will be a contrast in styles a little bit, but it should be an exciting match. That Grand Metalik John Morrison match from like a month and a half ago, or earlier in July, I think it might have been. That was a heck of a match. I don't know if you remember watching that on SmackDown. But yeah, that was a really good match where the...
If he can have a good match with Morrison, he's going to have a good match with AJ Styles. I'm not going to count that out.
Okay. All right. And then, last but not least, Jeff Hardy and his alternate persona. They defeated Sheamus in the bar fight. It was done kind of like one of the cinematic matches where they had a lot of cuts and edits and things like that. So what'd you think about that particular cinematic match set up in the bar scene?
I was impressed by it. You know, it was, I watched it and I was just like, okay, you know, Sheamus came in there and he, you know, had the bartender who was there a couple weeks ago, you know, he was behind the boss doing the drinks, and so Jeff came in and they had that fight. And like I said, it was a good match. Then when Jeff went to that other part of him with the spooky eyes, you know, it was just like, what the hell? And Sheamus was kind of caught off guard. Right. So, and he hit the swanton over the barrels of whiskey or whatever it was, man. So that's how he got the win. And then after he got the win, his eyes went back to his regular shade. So, like I said, it was a good match. It was just, you know, I kind of understand why they left it off. They kind of left it off of the Extreme Rules, you know, but it made good for SmackDown and everything.
Yeah, indeed.
And also,
it was an attraction. You know, it was something to bring people to SmackDown. because they've been, as everybody knows, WWE has been having a lot of difficulty in the ratings, and they've hit a bunch of new lows, all-time lows, when it comes to viewership for SmackDown and Raw. So,
and also some sports are coming back, so they're going to have that problem too.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They're about to shut baseball back down, I think. The whole Marlins had like 17 people get the virus in one day.
So they shut down their season.
They shut down the whole team, yeah.
Yeah, for like until, because the Orioles are supposed to go down to Miami to play them. And so now it's going to be the Orioles and Yankees here in Baltimore. And I think the Phillies will start playing on Friday. They're going to start playing on Friday. They're going to be because we put the Yankees and Phillies and the Orioles and Marlins, but then everything happened up in Philly. Philly got shut down until Friday. Orioles and Yankees will play this week. So that's it with that. But yeah, it's been crazy with these outbreaks and everything. And we know WWE had that outbreak, earlier this summer with everything going on. So it's a mess. One thing we forgot to mention, Bray Wyatt had a promo talking about the Swamp match and everything, and he basically said something about he's back, he's home, he's returned home, or something like that. So we'll have to see on Friday what he's referring to, who's back, either The Fiend or if Braun Strowman back in the mix with him and everything.
Yep. So I guess that means that The Fiend is back, because we haven't seen him in a while. So maybe he's unlocked The Fiend. And of course, like I said, that's probably be the end of the story, as Braun Strowman is going to have to come face to face with the person he was trying not to face, and that was The Fiend.
Right.
And then Drew Gulak beat my man Tony Nese, and then afterwards he called out Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin put a bounty on his head, on Matt Riddle's head, and Tony Nese tried to collect it, and he got beat up again for his problems.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I like Tony Nese. Tony Nese was actually one of my favorites. We got signed to the company, and he tried to run up on Matt Riddle, and Matt Riddle was like, he could put Corbin said the King's Ransom.
Yeah.
Called the King's Ransom. Did you tell you what Harley Race did back in the day?
Sure did.
Yep.
Triple H did the same thing to, I think it was Goldberg. He put a ransom out on Goldberg in the very same vein as the Harley Race. This is one of the best Harley Race's promos. He's like, I've got $10,000 of my own money to any man, woman, or child who can take out Ric Flair. Just take the damn money.
That was some classic. That was some classic wrestling back in the '80s.
Yeah, man. So, I thought SmackDown, even though I got to watch kind of a reduced version of it, I thought it was really good. They had some the entry with the Bayley and Alexa Bliss Nikki Cross match was really good. Set the stage for some more dissension. Another team besides Bayley and Sasha that looks like they might have some underlying problems brewing. So that was a cool twist on that.
But here's the thing about that. I'm glad that we get the two women power trip story, because this could go all the way to WrestleMania, and if they can book this long term to WrestleMania, we could definitely get some things done with this.
They should never wrestle. They shouldn't even do it now.
Because
we're
the Triple H tour squad.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Black Star. It's like, why we released a classic on our first album? Why do another one? it's only going to be diminishing returns. It's like the build up to it will probably be far exceed what the match would ever be. So don't do
right.
it. So don't do it. I wouldn't do it. Even though it'd probably be a huge money maker and everybody wants to see the payoff. The payoff would have been a year and a half ago when they first started it, when Bayley first went heel. That would have been the time to do it. But since they've, you know, gone this far and held it off, I wouldn't do it.
But we see what we've gotten as a result of them holding it off. We've gotten great promos, great matches, a great title run with Bayley on SmackDown Women's Championship. They both hold the Raw Women's Tag Team, WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, and Sasha has the Raw Women's Championship. So basically, it's just they have the power.
Yeah, it's a good thing, man. It's been a lot of fun. They've definitely been the highlight of WWE programming for the last month or
like
so.
Like, when they close Raw, I'm watching. If they not close the Raw, I'm asleep.
Very simple metrics, right?
Right.
Well,
you put the two women on at the end, and you won't have the eyes on it.
That's true. So, Mr. Mo, to the underscore, we've come to the end of another episode of the Rawcast, sir. It's time for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Shout-out to you, as always. Thanks for having me another week in the books. Sam, Edie, good to see you back in the live on the hashtag with us. She said that she said she's just been busy, and she said she sees everything, so... You know, she got her eyes watching from afar. Ray, hope you're doing well. Classic, always see you on the tweets, you know, cutting up. Mel, always give shout out to Mel. Jula, Miss Simi. I love being a hashtag with Miss Simi, because Miss Simi brings a whole different element to me watching the shows and everything. So it was great being in there with Miss Simi and everything. Miss V, you know, baseball season starting for her, so she going back and forth about what she got going on. Jay to the Max, you know, shout out to her as always. Got to get our girl back on TV. That's who I want to get the title next. I want my girl. I want our girl Sonya Deville to get the title. But oh yeah, another thing. Mandy and Otis is coming back to TV on Friday.
That'll put butts in seats.
That's returning back to TV on Friday. That storyline. Yeah. So, and shout out to our friends over at The Push. You know, their new show started on this Sunday. I'll go check them out. Give them a listen. I'm sure it'll be quite entertaining. You know, you hear the topic that they discuss and everything. And shout out to everybody who be the hashtag with us, trying to get some new blood in the mix and everything. So a couple people said they'll give us a listen, they'll come and join the hashtags and everything. So, you know, if you see some new faces, make them welcome, try and build our community here.
I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for joining me once again here for another edition of the Rawcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to everybody who joined us in the hashtags this week. Rawcast, SmackDown Matters, NXT Cast, Dynamite Cast. Give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, Miss Simi, Mr. Anwar Starwin, my co-host of the Cast of Strong Style. Be speaking to him later on this week. Can't wait to talk about some things that happened over in Japan. Give a big shout out to Terry's Boy, who's been helping us review some shows here the past couple of weeks as well. Miss Simi, Madame Lizette, Miss V, Jupiter Julep, all the Wrestle Bays, and all the members of the GLOW. Thank you for everybody who is doing, those Facebook, those Follow Fridays that include the WrestleCast. We definitely appreciate it. The new episode of The Push should have showed up in everybody's WrestleCast feed if you're subscribed to the WrestleCast. You got that initial repurposing episode of what used to be Heel Heat, now known as The Push. So give those guys a listen, interact with them, let them know that you heard the show and what you feel about it, and let them get some comments and some feedback. Always support the podcast by going over to the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron for either $1, $3, or $5. If you do sign up for the $3 or $5 tier, you will have access each and every week to the Dark Match, which is hosted by me and Miss Simi, as we talk about AEW Dynamite. And also, you'll get candid conversations before and after for all the shows that we record here, Rawcast, NXT, SmackDown Matters, Cast of Strong Style as well. Also, support the show by going over to CSPN.us, click on the tab that says Keep the Podcast Free, click on any of those sponsors up there, and some of your purchase comes back to the show to help everything stay free each and every week for your listening pleasures. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Hey, bro, what's the news?
Well, I mean, not the best news. They said I'm going to be out for at least 6 weeks, maybe more. You know, but I get to spend some time with the family, you know what I mean? So it's all good.
Hey, Dan, I'm sorry, man. Hey, take your time, heal up. I promise you when the time is right, Shin and Cesaro, those titles, I promise you we're coming. Take your time, though, but we're coming.
I appreciate you, man. We appreciate you. We'll get the titles back when the time is right. But I feel like the universe is trying to speak to us right now, man. I mean, let's think about it. Woods is out. I'm about to be out. That means right now is your time.
I mean, I hear you and all. I appreciate that, but
Look, me and Woods, we talk about this all the time. I mean, for the past 6 years, you have been completely selfless. You've been putting the group ahead of yourself, you know, week in, week out. Even when I was the WWE champion, man, it was always love all the time. No jealousy, no animosity.
Never,
man. You know, I always appreciated that. And honestly, I couldn't have done it without you. But here and now, it's about you, man. It's about you showing the world what Big E can do.
Like I said, I hear you. I appreciate that. But it's you and
E, we want this for you, man. Don't let them deny you for a decade before you take your due. More importantly, you've earned this. You deserve this. You have our blessing, man.
You sure?
I put your meat on my meat, man. Gently now.
You're good.
Now, gently.
Hey,
I'm delicate.
Hey, I love you, man.
I love you,
man. I appreciate it.
Come on, man.
Hey, thank you, man. Sincerely, thank you.